this Tuesday and certainly by next, I guess, Monday when they vote on it.
This is John in Yellow, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Lillian Liu of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC. 90.7 FM.
Okay, but I can't do both.
Not at the same time.
Right. Which would you like to do first?
No preference.
Hello, this is Bill Collier. You are on live with Tech Talk, Ralph and Bill. If you want to call in with any questions, any concerns about anything technical, call us at 518-697-7400 or 518-622-2598, and we will answer your tech questions. I will start out with the first story, and until we do get a call, our first caller. If you have an Android device and you haven't heard, Qualcomm, which has about 40% of all Android devices have a Qualcomm chip, has announced a risk of data theft. If you're downloading certain videos and et cetera, they're going to be issuing a fix for this. This is something that you should care about. However, some of the things that you can do in order to actually prevent this from being a problem for you is try not to download any apps that are actually not in the App Store. And be careful. Look at, if you're going to download an app, just look at the ratings. They all have ratings. See what people are saying about it before you download it. Just be more careful than normal until they do issue the fix. Once they issue the fix, it will automatically update and you won't be vulnerable anymore. But that's what we're waiting on right now. This actually is breaking news. And you heard it here first on Tech Talk. So good afternoon, Mr. Ralph. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mr. Bill. You know, I've been rich and I've been poor. And honey, let me tell you, rich is better.
That is awesome. Very good.
Yes.
Okay, so we have a caller waiting. Go ahead and put them on.
Come on, caller.
Hi. Yes, I have a tech question.
Hello, caller. Are you with us?
I'm with you. Can you hear me?
I can hear somebody. Who are you and where are you from?
Hi, I'm Michael from Maine.
Hey, Michael from Maine. Welcome to WGXC from New York.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to be calling in.
It's a great step toward national notoriety, followed by immense wealth, Michael from Maine.
Or infamy and shame. How can we help you, Mike? Shame.
I heard that... Yeah. That you're here to answer any tech questions I have about anything.
You go for it.
Okay, well, I have a question. So earlier this year, I was talking to my friends about maybe wanting to do an MBA, but I hadn't searched for an MBA. And then, like, literally the next minute, like minutes had gone by, and I went on to Google or Facebook or something, and I was getting advertisements for like an MBA. And it was just too weird. And this kind of thing happens sometimes, whether it's like something random like dog food or a mattress. But how is that happening? That can't be a coincidence, right?
So did you type in a search for an NDA?
No, I hadn't typed in any. That's the weird thing, because I get advertised like kayaks and things that I've searched for all the time. But the weird thing was, is like sometimes, not all the time, I don't search for anything. I'm just talking about it with a friend.
So this is
Michael. Are you sure you weren't talking about the NSA with your friend? Because if that was the case, I would really understand this very, very well.
Well,
only sometimes.
So Michael, this has been sort of an ongoing thing. It isn't completely documented, so I can't speak with authority to say that your device is listening and they have a way of getting the feedback and then feeding you an ad based on it. But there's enough sort of anecdotal evidence that maybe some of your apps could be doing that. Depends on which app you have open. I know I've done the experiment with Facebook and actually got things to show up. So there's something kind of going on. I don't think they're recording your conversations per se, but I think there's an intelligence that, you know, an artificial intelligence that picks up keywords and then tries to serve you ads. It is definitely an ongoing thing. And if you stay tuned to our show, as we progress, we're probably going to dig further into things like that, because it's as they say, curiouser and curiouser. I don't necessarily know if it's a coincidence, but I'm not willing to disregard it as a coincidence either.
And that's the, you know, that's Bill Collier. That's from the technical point of view. From my mystical point of view, Michael from Maine, you have finally established proof positive of the existence of God. Well done.
Very, very awesome.
Very awesome.
So we have another caller. So thank you, Michael. You are awesome. And we look forward to you calling again. Let's go ahead with our next caller.
Hey, it cut out for a second. I guess the topic that I asked about maybe got too hot for the NSA.
Who, by the way, all deserve a huge raise in salary.
Yes,
and
also,
each one deserves a Presidential Medal of Freedom. God bless them.
I basically recommend that everybody during the holiday season just speak into your phone and say, NSA guys, I appreciate you being there for me. I never feel alone as long as you're around. They love you.
And we know you're keeping us safe. Guys and gals. So guys and gals, let's not marginalize based upon socially constructed genders, Bill. This is the 21st century. Try to keep up.
I know. I'm still lost in the 19th century.
Okay, Michael from Maine, thank you for calling in. Awesome question. Awesome proof of the existence of the supreme deity. And we hope you will call in again next Monday.
I look forward to it. Thanks for that great answer.
Thanks. Next caller.
Hello.
Hello, who's there?
This is Lisa.
Lisa.
Hello.
Hello,
hi,
Lisa.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hello, Lisa.
My name is Lisa.
Where are you from, Lisa?
I'm calling from Albany.
I love Albany. I was raised in Albany. I spent some of the best years of my life in Albany. I love Albany. It's the secret hidden gem of either North America or the entire world, or maybe the universe. So you are very lucky, Lisa, to be an Albanian.
Oh, I love Albany too. I'm not a native from Albany, but I do live here now and I really like it.
Well, congratulations to you. Does Lisa from Albany have a question for Bill or for Ralph? Bill being Bill.
I do. And this is probably a question for Ralph, just because I read that you wrote a book about how to transform the world using the internet. So yes. My question is, we mostly hear about how the internet is so bad, how it engenders hate speech and it engenders this and that. And there are all these problems with regulation and things like that. I'm just wondering if you could just speak a little bit to what the web is good for, what it actually does that's good for the world.
Well, there's a long, we don't have, in the remaining 50 minutes, we don't have enough time. But the best thing that it's ever done, according to meticulously researched research, it was that it live streams and archives Tech Talk with Bill and Ralph from WGXC. So that is
There must be more.
This is just the tip of the iceberg of wonderfulness. Did you know that thanks to the internet that that 90 billion emails get sent every day? 90 billion. That's amazing. That's like over 10 emails for every man, woman, and child alive on the world today. And I would just say that Collier only sends about 1 billion of them, leaving 59 billion for the rest of us to split up among ourselves. True dat, Bill?
Yes, but I'm trying to cut back. So I'm down to 800 million. Thanks.
Okay, good. So Lisa from Albany, it has allowed us to stay in touch with each other via email at zero cost instead of having to spend 50 cents for a stamp. It has created free long distance phone calls, including long distance, including video phone calls. I don't know how old you are, Lisa, and a gentleman never asks a woman her age. But when I was a kid in 1964, I was 12 years old, and I went to the New York World's Fair, and they had a video phone there, which was considered the epitome of futurity and coolness and high tech. And fact is that now everybody's got that in their mobile phone with FaceTime, and everybody on their laptop can do, whether it's Skype or Google Groups or Microsoft Teams or Zoom or any one of any number of free or low-cost utilities, you can talk to people and you can see people that you're talking to, which is, we take it for granted, but it's amazing. And then you've got social media, which, you know, I mean, thank God for Twitter. How else would we know what the President of the United States was thinking of it at any given moment? But thanks to Twitter, we are constantly kept updated on what the most powerful man in the Western world is thinking at any given moment in time. So there's that. And then there's Facebook, where you can make thousands and thousands of friends, and you can keep in touch, and you can post your pictures and see their pictures, and you can post news articles, you can post news of your own life. So you've got all of the many splendors and wonders of social media. And by the way, you know, we take all these things for granted, but as little as 20 years ago, all of these things would have seemed like science fiction. So would, the web itself is only 26 years old. And cell phones, again, we take them for granted. Everybody's got a cell phone. Almost everybody's got a smartphone that allows us to talk to our friends. It has GPSs, allows it. I'm a terrible navigator. In fact, my best girl would tell you, even with a GPS, I'm still a terrible navigator, but it's all relative, and I'm much less terrible, and I get lost much less often. Now that I've got a GPS built in free right into my phone, I can talk to people in my car. When I remember the first cell phone, it was about the size of a cinder block, and now they're tiny and handheld. So all of these wonderful technologies are very affordable. the amount of computing power in an iPhone or an Android would have cost $30 million 20 years ago, the circuitry in there. Now it's $1,000 or $500. There is far more computing power built into just an old cell phone, an iPhone 6, forget about an iPhone 10 or 12, than was necessary to guide the astronauts to the moon, to the moon landing, to the takeoff and back. So really these things are borderline miraculous. Arthur C. Clarke's third law is any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, but we just take it for granted. And the last thing is, because to loop back to your question, I'm the author of the Webster's Dictionary, How to Use the Web to Transform the World. And it was, I investigated, not sneakily, I just looked at all of the information that was available on the web using Google to find out how MoveOn.org went and became an extraordinarily powerful civic group, which now has 6 million people. And it was thanks to MoveOn.org, which was created on a laptop in a living room by two retired software engineers, Wes Boyd and Joan Blades. And they said, you know, we need to censure Clinton and move on. This was when Clinton was being threatened with impeachment. And since the Republicans were persecuting Clinton, and the Democrats were all hiding under their desks instead of protecting him, this allowed 500,000 people to mobilize, regular citizens like you and me, and make our voices heard. And even though Clinton was impeached, he was not removed from office. And then the Move On people got together with another 500,000 person group called 9/11 Peace, who was done by a 19-year-old college student named Eli Pariser. And they created a million-person group, and they began to put the pressure on, sweet, relentless pressure, to get the United States to end the forever war and bring the troops home from Iraq and Afghanistan and so forth. And that was just done by regular people, two of whom were guiding a million others with respect, not as minions, but as colleagues, comrades in arms, if you will, to make their voices heard in a way that was, they needed patience. It took them 10 years to get the job done, but they patiently mobilized this million people and then 2 million people and then 4 million people and then 6 million people to move their humanitarian agenda forward. And frankly, you know, that before the web, that would not have been possible. And with the web, it becomes more and more common, not just possible, but it's still hard, but it's something that becomes possible. And so in a good enough cause, in a great enough cause, for people who have the integrity and the energy to advocate for their humanitarian or ecological goals, the web has made regular people like you and me, and even subnormal people like Bill, enormously powerful, and I think that's a good thing.
So connectivity is the transformation?
Say again?
Connectivity is the transformation?
Connectivity is, that is not in itself the transformation. But when I was a young man, the leading edge was space, the final frontier, whether it was going to the moon or whether it was sending satellites out to the far planets. But then came the internet, and that was cyberspace, and the opportunity for people to access these vast amounts of information and to connect with each other, I would say, moved the whole culture away from grandiosity and toward intimacy. And we have a long way to go, but just even in terms of of what you said, connectivity, you know, your ability, my ability, even Bill's ability to look up a fact. It used to be I would have to go to a library. I would have to go from my house to the local library. I would have to, if it was a particularly complicated fact, they would have to send away to the local university library. A week later, the book would come. Maybe it would be the right book. Maybe it wouldn't. If it was the right book, then I would have to sort through the book to find what I was looking for. In the process, I would have to go through card catalogs and a lot of cumbersome stuff. But now, you know, the original goal of Google, and it still remains the goal, is to index and make accessible all the knowledge in the world. So, this is just another almost magical superpower that the internet has given us and that we've just gotten so used to, we take it for granted. So I would say access to information and connectivity to people. And it's a two-way connectivity. So we're not just broadcasting. We're broadcasting and receiving. We're having actual conversations. I would say that in and of itself was transformational. And it also gives us the potency, the agency, if you will, to create social change in ways such as Black Lives Matter, to move forward things like social justice, good things that have been languishing for a long time, and now we can move them forward much faster, much more powerfully, and much more unstoppably thanks to the World Wide Web.
Okay, but one last question. Is it trustworthy?
Well, the short answer is there is absolutely no replacement for your own judgment. People have to take the responsibility to exercise their best judgment. There's an old joke. It's so old, I think, that Bill was the one who told it to me. That he said, well, if I read it on the internet, it has to be true.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be gullible and you're going to be credulous, I don't care whether it's the internet or the newspapers or the magazines or local neighborhood gossip. Okay. You're going to be had. And the fact is that misinformation as well as true information is transmitted by the internet. And you have to be rigorous as you encounter some information. The internet also makes it very possible for you to check out that information, to research it and find out if there is, you know, if people have raised questions about it. But putting this into context for a minute, I believe that most people, most of the time, are really possessed with very good judgment. And there's a wonderful book called The 13 Keys to the White House by a professor named Alan Lichtman, who takes the position that people are not stupid. Voters are not stupid. They're not gullible. And for all the billions of dollars of the political campaigns trying to spin the facts and persuade people using sneaky techniques, and for all of the opinionated big media, whether it's MSNBC or Fox or CNN or CNBC, they all have opinions. Everybody has opinions. Some people admit it, some people don't. But most of the time, I guess Judge Grew said it best. He was a member of the Prohibition Party, which thank God is no longer with us. And he said, you can fool all of the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. So for all of the misinformation, as well as good information out there on the web, I'd say most people, most of the time, are capable of sorting out, eventually getting to the truth, eventually sorting out what's reliable and what is not. So there you go. I trust you, Lisa from Albany, to figure out when the information is honest and honorable and truthful, and when the information is slanted and biased or even an out and out lie. I just count on you to be able to figure that out. And the evidence is that most people can.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in, Lisa from Albany, and feel free to call in every Monday between 7 and 8 because you ask really good questions and we really like answers.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bill, if we don't have another caller, it's your turn to practice your excellent filibustering skills.
Well, you know, speaking in terms of some of the things that you addressed with Lisa, the issue of trust, the issue of trust has always been around. The yellow journalism is not new. Now it's just more prolific. But with the internet, for those who do want to actually double check things, there is all kinds of ways to double check people. Double check. I do it all the time. I see things on social media and I go and I look, and it doesn't take much for me to check. Like, for instance, if it's a weird URL that nobody's ever heard of, if it's xyzpdq.com, well, it's probably a website.
You mean a UFO? A URL? What's a URL? Are you talking about flying saucers?
A website address. URL.
What's a URL?
It's the website address.
You mean like a street address?
Like www.imgonnapunchyouinthefacedotcom.
Oh, really? How did you ever find my website?
So a URL, if you mean the technical term, it's a uniform resource locator, okay? But nobody knows or cares. It's just...
You mean the domain name?
A domain name is what people say too, yes. Domain name, web address, or URL. That's correct.
Okay. So what were you saying about this UFO again and determining the truth of things?
Well, you can look at a source and you can actually check the URL or the web address, and you can just look right from that and see, like, for instance...
Wait a minute. How can you check it out? Do you have a special ray gun or a special X-ray vision glasses?
If you put your cursor over a link, a little thing pops up to show you what the link is, the URL or the web address.
Okay.
And that if you see it's a weird URL, well, don't click on it for one thing. I don't click on weird links because weird stuff happens when you do.
Like what?
Well, you get a virus. So
okay, well, why don't you talk about that?
We do have another caller. We have Betsy from Vermont. Come on in, Betsy.
Okay, but hold that thought because you were talking about something that's going to be really useful to people is how not to catch a virus.
Yes,
computer.
Let's handle the call from Betsy, and then we'll answer that question too.
Hello, Betsy from Vermont.
Hello there, gentlemen. I was interested in what Bill was saying about yellow journalism, because that's something that's intrigued me for a while, and I wonder how journalism managed to get itself out of the yellow stage and into the more black and white stage, and I wonder if you all see an opportunity for the internet to mature at that same kind of in the same manner, or maybe it can't. Maybe because it's so much larger, it can continue to be the full spectrum of colors.
Well, Bill's an old newspaper man, so yeah, you asked the right guy.
So my basic thesis about yellow journalism is that journalism has never really stopped being yellow. It was called yellow journalism because the paper was actually yellow. So that was
actually that's close. There was a color cartoon in those early papers. I'm old enough to remember this, Bill, even though you're not. You're mixing it up with the FT, and the name of it was The Yellow Kid. And The Yellow Kid was a kind of hooligan goofball, and he was a very popular cartoon in his day. These cartoons appeared in the tabloids, which were considered to be less reliable and more opinionated than the tabloids. Than the broadsheets. So just there you go. The yellow journalism has descended. Last I looked, you could Google this. I might be making this up. somebody might have misinformed me.
You might be making it up, but the point is that yellow journalism was sort of an epithet to say it was not reliable. Newspapers in the early, like the 19th century, were completely out of control. They would literally make things up. The stuff they said about the president sitting in power, they would just like come with a whole screed of things and attack them. Right. Most newspapers were actually run by political organizations. They weren't kind of like they are today, although people will argue that too. So I think journalism is, I certainly have high standards for journalism and I demand high standards for journalism, but I don't see it really changing anytime soon. I see the internet, the biggest power the internet gives us as consumers of news is the ability to cross-check things, the ability to investigate. Look, I look up reporters. I actually dig into their background to find out what kind of people they are because I don't trust anything. So I'm constantly double-checking everything, but I can do that. Whereas before, I would just have a piece of paper, and how am I going to cross-check a piece of paper? It's just sitting in front of me. Now I just go and I look at the website. I look at the past stuff they've been doing. I look at previous predictions. I mean, I can really dig as deep as I want to. That takes a little extra work, but the beauty of the internet is that I can do that if I want to, whereas before I couldn't do that. Hopefully people will begin to get an appetite for news that is a little bit more accurate and less agenda driven from all sides. I don't know if that's going to happen though. So
I don't think it's going to happen, Bill, well, because it's never happened before.
Well, Bill, your question, your comment kind of leads me to another question, which is about the apparent push now to make some of the social media sites like Facebook and so forth police their content. And what, you know, seems that's fraught with a multitude of hazards.
Well, I think it can be. I think there's a lot of push from the market that people don't. I know I'm on Facebook. I really don't want to actually see Nazi content. I don't even want to see it. It's like I don't go there for that. So I get that people want some kind of monitoring or moderation.
Standards. They want standards, good taste.
Community standards. Right. So and this is something I know Ralph and I both actually have worked extensively in this and written and talked about it quite a bit as far as how you can have community standards. To me, the issue is really, are those community standards transparent? Are they evenly applied and et cetera? So we actually have a second caller on hold, but I do want to say that I love your questions. We're going to, if you keep listening to this show, you're going to keep getting more of this kind of content. We're going to dig into how do you moderate a social media site better? How can we create better community standards? And hopefully the big tech guys they'll take our advice and that'll be awesome. I think overall though, the ability of the average person to regulate their own content is pretty high. And I honestly think most of the platforms, they've got so many pressures from different directions. I think they're trying to please the market and they're trying to maintain an ethical standard at the same time. And it's not easy.
Yeah. Can I just, Betsy from Vermont, a couple of things. The Heritage Foundation is considered to be kind of like the most prestigious, most dominant conservative think tank in the world. They have 2 million followers on Facebook, 2 million. And Judicial Watch, which is probably, it's focused in on the courts, and it's probably even more conservative than Heritage, has 6 million members, 6 million followers on Facebook. So this myth that is being propagated very deliberately by some people who should know better, but either they don't or they don't care, that there is a bias against conservatives on social media, the evidence is overwhelming that that's just not true. There are areas that are sensitivities, that are high sensitivity, that these companies, and they are companies, have basically laid out their standards very clearly, that have to do with good taste, and have to do with not offending the sensibilities of most people who come visiting there. It's kind of like, you know, rating a, it's kind of like the rules at your country club. They don't let people run around topless, unless you happen to belong to a nudist country club, in which case that's another show. If you look at the community standards at Facebook or anywhere, there are very simple things about, you know, no racism, no hate speech, no propagating dangerous stories that are, you know, based in myth or misinformation. And if you are willing to exercise what I call the three commons, common sense, common decency, and common courtesy, it doesn't matter how conservative or how progressive you are, you're going to be okay on any social media that I know of, whether it's Facebook or Twitter, LinkedIn or Instagram. Common sense, common courtesy, and common decency. If you lack one or more of those, then you're likely to be thrown into Facebook jail for acting in ways that, you know, that they are afraid will be offensive to other people there. But with 2 million people at Heritage, with 114,000 people at Bill and my own highly conservative Capitalist League Facebook group, hint, hint, all of our listeners are invited to come, to go and like us and follow the Capitalist League at Facebook. We've never had a problem because we operate with the three commons: common sense, common courtesy, common decency. But Mark Zuckerberg's made it very clear. He does not want to stifle debate. He just wants to stifle nastiness. And that is not a matter of bias. That's a matter of good business judgment and maybe even good taste. Oh, look, Lisa from Albany is back on the other line. Would you ask her to hold on for another moment, Lisa from Albany, because I got a bone to pick with you, Betsy from Vermont.
Of course. Are you,
okay. Vermont is not a legitimate state. It seceded totally illegally from Albany County, where Lisa from Albany is right now, around the year 1800. It was a part of, you could look this up, this is not fake news. It was a part of Albany County, and it just declared itself, went out and declared itself its own separate state. And it seceded, it's secessionist. And even though eventually the New York State Legislature voted to let it go, and the Congress voted to recognize it as a state, I do not recognize it as a state. It's a renegade portion of Albany County. So Betsy from Vermont, what are you going to do about that? This gross injustice.
Betsy has moved on to celebrate her awesome decision of her state to become independent as its own state, and I completely applaud and recognize it. And I'm willing to fight you, Ralph.
You treasonous creature! Okay, let's bring Lisa from Albany on. Maybe we can stoke her up to go back and reel Vermont back into Albany, because we'd be much better off with 98 senators, considering the kind of people who they elect as senators. Lisa from Albany, welcome back.
Thank you so much, guys. I don't mean to hog the airwaves, but if Bill could go back and talk about how you check the efficacy of somebody who's emailed you by their URL, I didn't quite follow that. And that sounds like it'd be really useful.
Sure. Okay, so when you get a link from anybody, whether it's email or you see a link, if it's an email that has a live hyperlink on it, if you put your cursor over,
Bill,
it,
could you explain to our millions of listeners from sea to shining sea what a hyperlink is or how to tell what a hyperlink is? Because
it's just a link.
You mean if there are words in blue, in bright blue, right?
That is correct. It's
If there are words in bright blue that you click on, it will take you to a website.
This is why you have to be careful. I'm glad you said this, because it isn't always blue anymore. There are now hyperlinks that are black and different colors. If you see something that says click here and you put your cursor over, even if it's a picture, you will see a little thing come up that shows you what the URL is. Okay. Then, so like I'm here and I see I'm in Wikipedia. It says learn about Wikipedia. So I go over the hyperlink and I see at the bottom, on the bottom right hand or left hand of my screen, bottom left hand, there's a little thing that'll show you what the hyperlink is. So I see that, oh, well, that's a Wikipedia link. It says Wikipedia.com. Great. The other trick.
Wait a minute. So we know that it's trusted because we know the Wikipedia is trustworthy because it's got editors and stuff.
You're not going to get a virus.
They don't have phishing expeditions, and they don't have malware that can invade your computer and take it over the kind of way that, same way that it took over Bill's brain a long time ago.
The other thing that to do is when you actually get an email and you're not sure about it, if you click on the top of the email, there's a little arrow where the address is. Look at where the address actually came from. Like if it's a Yahoo, I get these all the time. It says your Yahoo email is going to get suspended. And then the email is like umptysquat@yahoo.umptysquat.com. And you're like, well, that's not a Yahoo email. So I know not to click anything. I just forward it to abuse@yahoo.com. So always be mindful of clicking on links, whether they're blue or black, anything that looks like it's a link, look at what the link actually says. So this will keep you. Don't click on stuff that you're not familiar with. Don't assume just because you got an email from a friend that it's a real legitimate thing, because people can spoof emails. People can hack into other people's emails. We should do a whole show on just how to avoid viruses and clicking on emails. There are so many different ways to do it. If you are on a PC or an Android device, you're more likely to get a virus than if you're on Apple. And do you know why that is?
No.
Because there's so few apples out there that the hackers don't even waste their time with it.
Ha ha ha.
No,
not true.
Really?
That's not true anymore, Bill.
Oh, that's I love zinging Apple, and I will not stop until the day I die.
He is Bill.
Clearly.
Bill is a Luddite, an Apple phobe.
No, I'm not a phobe of Apple. I'm not afraid of the Apple.
You are prejudiced. You are no phobe doesn't mean.
No, I'm not in any way prejudiced against Apple.
Right.
I'm just.
You are just
being objective.
You are just PC, politically correct.
Right. Exactly. I am PC. I hope that helps you, Lisa. It is pretty complicated.
It did, Bill. But I want to be clear that I was talking about when you get an email from somebody you don't know. So I'm not talking about a friend or something.
Right.
I'm talking about an email from, oh, a credit card company that says, oh, your account has been hacked, blah, 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 blah. Click here to fix it. That I'm smart enough to know that not to do that. But you're saying you can click on the URL to see if it really came from the credit card company?
No,
you don't have to click
don't
on
click.
It.
Do not click. Do not click. Do not click.
Not click.
Not click. But hold the cursor over the URL to see if
right.
it really
you'll
came
see a,
from
you'll see a thing
American
somewhere
Express, somewhere. For example.
You'll see a thing on your screen that'll show you, and it's usually like on my computer, it's on the lower left hand that I see a little gray box that comes up and shows me what URL I'm on. I do it all the
time.
Where
it really came from. And it might not be American Express. It might be something
right.
else.
And you'll see that it's some weird URL, and you'll be like, no, that's not, you know.
Uh-huh. And you hold your mouse over the URL where it came from?
the sender
right, the mouse,
without
the cursor.
Clicking on it.
Without clicking. You just hold it over the URL.
Right, and you look for a little gray box should show up on your screen showing you what the URL is.
And I have an even easier technique. I have an even easier technique. If you're getting some kind of message from somebody or some entity that you don't know and you don't expect to be hearing from, just click delete.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa from Albany. And by the way, we want you to go after this Betsy from Vermont and make her give Vermont back.
Maybe
Vermont
she'll call
Ralph. No, Ralph. That's
yes.
A no.
Yes, it is. It's a no. Matter of, I want Lisa to become our social justice, Albany social justice warrior to reclaim Vermont.
I'm just picturing this now. Listen to Tech Talk, they said. It won't be controversial, they said. Civil War 2.0 breaks out in Vermont and Albany.
Oh, no.
Terrible thing, though.
Oh, well, it's, you know, it's the right time, right? Chaz, right? We will call it the Albany Autonomous Zone. How's that? And then that'll make it okay.
Okay. Okay.
You are.
Thank you.
NSA guys. Dreams.
Thank you, Lisa from Albany.
Thank you, Lisa.
Tally ho and yoinks.
Well, circling back a little bit to the issue of, you know, getting viruses in your computer, if you are running, whether it's an Apple or a PC, really, you really need to make sure that you've got good software that is going to provide you with virus protection, malware protection. Look it up. Look up different types. Choose the one that's best for you. I don't really
no,
have...
No. Don't tell them that. Tell yeah. them which one is best for them.
Yeah, but I can't because there's so many. I mean, I'm a big fan of... just, you know, McAfee, even though the guy that started McAfee is
insane. Right. But he's,
well, I don't want to say anything allegedly
insane. Right.
Allegedly. Can we just put that in front of everything we say from now on?
Everything. Yes.
Allegedly Vermont is not legitimately a state.
No, that's true. That is true news, not fake news.
No, that is yellow journalism.
Which would mean that even, by the way, this is getting better and better. It means that Bernie Sanders is not, in fact, a legitimate United States senator.
Oh, dear. Very good. I think when you were young, your mother or father, or probably your mother because you were in the womb, didn't realize that viruses could be spread from mother to son, and she opened an email even before there was email, and
she was ahead of her time.
She was definitely ahead of her time.
Yep.
I have a question for you, Ralph. When did you?
You're not allowed to ask questions.
I'm going to ask a question. When did you first go online, and why?
I actually went online back in the days of dial-up. Would you like to tell our audience what dial-up was?
I can imitate it, but probably not very well, but I know the sound. And remember, you've got mail. I met that guy, by the way, as God is my witness, I met that guy that actually did the You Got Mail thing. They paid him a lot of money to do this. I was like, I wish I could do it better. Listen to me. You've got mail. I think that's much better. But you remember that guy, right?
I remember the voice. You mean there was an actual human being behind it?
And I met him.
Where?
In Duncannon, Pennsylvania, of all places. I was at a friend's, and he was from Ohio, and he was visiting, and that's how I met him. He came in and he actually said it, and everybody busted up laughing.
So what's his name?
I don't remember.
I wonder if you could Google it.
I could, but I don't care.
Okay, good. So back in the day of AOL, I got online back in the days of America Online, and I'm guessing it was it was the, yeah, it was, there were three major online providers that, but I mostly got online for the emails and for the chat rooms. I was an AOL guy. There was also CompuServe, but the problem with CompuServe is the email addresses were like a bunch of numbers. So
they were very strange. Just I'm going to pause you for a second. If you're
and there was Prodigy.
All right, hold on just a second. If you're listening and you would like to call in, our call in number is 518-697-7400. 518-622-2598. Either one of those numbers will work perfectly fine. We are live on WGXC 90.7 FM. Go, Ralph.
Very, very good. Now you have made me lose my train of thought.
Did I make you forget?
Okay, so I was enchanted by the ability to talk to people all around the country and all around the world. I remember I one time got an email, was started emailing back and forth with one of our troops in Bosnia. And this was like so amazing because we were, you know, saw these guys on the evening news and it seemed so far away. And here we were able to actually communicate with the actual person by email in real time for a front row perspective. I don't remember.
Listen, I have you beat, Ralph. I was in the military in the 80s. And as you probably know, the military created, we didn't create the internet, but we certainly had our own version of it. So we had our own communication system that was like email. And we had digital type phones to talk to people around the world. I was so fascinated about it. We had this big giant machine that was meant to decode your message so you could talk to people around the world through this satellite link, kind of like internet-based is now. And then what they did was they reduced this thing. I remember the day that they came in, this thing weighed almost a ton, and they started to take it out, and they put this phone on the desk. This was 1988 in Iceland. They put this phone on the desk called a Stu-3, and they were like, that's it. And we could get data. We could do all kinds of crazy stuff with it. Then when I got out and actually discovered the internet, it was like my first reaction was, is this classified? Of course, it wasn't. But I was freaked out that civilians could do this now. Yeah. Yeah. They gave you guys great power by letting you do this. So,
well, it wasn't they. It was Al Gore. And I'm not kidding about this. And I know that you probably think that Al Gore is Al Gore came in for a lot of ridicule because he was this. He said he took the lead in helping to develop the internet, and that got translated into he invented the internet, which he never said. And in fact, the two guys who did invent the internet, whose name are Robert E. Conn and Vinton Cerf, have said, "Yeah, it was the internet was confined by law to federal agencies and universities, and nobody else was allowed to use it." And Al Gore said, hey, wait a second, this is a great thing. We should let this genie out of the bottle. We should allow everybody to use it. And he was the one, when he was a congressman, even before he was a U.S. senator, who actually crusaded to get the legislation through in order to allow civilians like us and like you.
And it's been all downhill from there.
I don't think so. I think the internet is an unmitigated blessing. And even though some people abuse it, the good that it does is 1,000 times more valuable than the harm that people do in it. So there. Anyway, no, I love going to make a living
off the internet, so I'm good.
So I went on to AOL. They mailed out hundreds of millions of these disks that would allow you to upload AOL into your computer. This was before all this stuff was done.
That was quite darling.
Right. And so I decided to, and it was $10 a month. And you would have to dial up, which means that you could only transmit very, very few. I'm sorry, what?
Pixel bits
at a time. It was a K, not megabits, not gigabits. It was kilobits. But I was able to go, and in addition to exchanging emails, which was very exotic and fun, I was also able to go to these things called chat rooms. And AOL maintained them, and people could set up a chat room about any subject that was of interest to them, science fiction or archaeology or or whatever.
Lord knows what rooms you join, but don't. This is a G-rated show. Don't get into that.
Yeah. Well, whatever rooms I joined, it was just wonderful to be able to explore ideas with other people. And you could do it anonymously, you know, under a pseudonym, because AOL would give you five different names. One of them was mine and four of them were not. So if I wanted
to
go.
I remember one of my AOL names, which was my favorite name, and everybody got a chuckle out of it. Do you remember yours?
Ralph Benko at AOL.com. How could I ever forget?
Oh, mine was I Will Rule Over You All.
Well, that's subtle.
There was no subtlety to it. And I'd go in the chat and be like, oh, it's that guy again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, some things never change. So in your quest for world domination, Bill, I'm afraid you've scared away all of the other callers.
That is fine. Listen, we have only a few minutes left. We really appreciate everybody listening to Tech Talk here on
WGXE. And streaming over the world, the whole world via the World Wide Web.
Streaming over the internet. Our phone numbers, please write them down, 518-697-7400, 518-622-2598. We will be back every Monday from 7 to 8 to answer your tech questions. To banter about, and I promise you, school Ralph in the finer nuances of the web so that he can be more of a 21st century guy.
Stop threatening our listeners, Bill. because you do not want the wrath of the FCC to be brought down on your head. And there, my next call as soon as you hang up.
Oh, you're such a nice guy.
Yeah. That probably explains why I finished last so many times.
Well, I will end with a small story. When I was in Iceland, and another thing that happened, I had a friend, his name was Joe McNamara, and he was this very computer geek guy. He used to go and plug his computer into a wall socket, or not a wall socket, a phone socket, and make phone calls, international calls, whatever, and go to bulletin boards, if anybody remembers. So next week, I hope somebody who remembers bulletin boards will call us and give us a story of ye old days. So we will be leaving you in exactly 2 minutes or less, and we'll be back next week, I assure you.
Stop threatening them. We want them to actually tune in.
Yeah, they'll tune in. They'll probably think that, you know, and we'll probably try not to start another civil war between two American states.
Okay? It's just Albany County. Vermont is a poseur. Do not give them the dignity of recognition of their faux statehood, because
I think next week I'm going to wear my I Vermont proud. I'm not even from Vermont. I've only been through there once, but I'm going to wear a Vermont proud t-shirt next week that nobody will see, but I'll know I'm wearing it. So.
Well, okay. As long as you know, then I guess that's what really counts.
Absolutely. Again, thank you everybody who was listening to us this week. I assume we will be back next week. I don't want to say we will and threaten anybody.
That's good. And of course, WGXE needs to want us to come back. And so nice, Bill. Be nice.
We thank the good folks at WGXE for having us on and for having this kind of programming for listeners. I think this is awesome.
And remember, in the event of a Bill Collier attack, repeat after me. Klaatu Barada Nikto.
And that means?
Nobody knows, but it was what Patricia Neal said to the big robot after Michael Reddy got killed in the day that the Earth stood still.